Hi, I'm Ali Portee, fashion and lifestyle journalist and editor of Zayla magazine. I've always been interested in biographies and in the stories of people's lives, basically listening to what stirs their souls. Welcome to the Soulful Side of Life, where I let you in on some of my conversations with inspiring people from around the world in fashion, faith, entertainment, music, and entrepreneurship. These are conversations that stir the soul about people's journeys, about the ups and downs of life, and how they have overcome certain situations. I hope that these episodes will inspire your life in some way, so enjoy over a cup of something hot or on your drive to work. This is The Soulful Side of Life and can be found on Spotify Podcasts or Apple Podcasts. Dee Okleppo Hilfiger is an entrepreneur, designer, wife, mother, philanthropist, and advocate living in Palm Beach, Florida. A third culture kid, she grew up in the U.S. with one parent being from Turkey and the other from England. She was a model and lived for many years in Europe raising her kids until she met fashion designer Tommy Hilfiger. Ultimately, she became a fashion designer herself, firstly as creative director of Judith Lieber, which she still does, and later she founded her own namesake brand. A kind person, Dee graciously sat down with me for a chat about the importance of women having our own independence, why she felt she had a sartorial story to tell in the oversaturated market of fashion, and she answers if she would have become a fashion designer if Tommy Hilfiger wasn't her husband. There was a glitch in the recording, so the very beginning of her answer to the first question was cut off, which was, "You're a third culture kid. Do you have connection to your Turkish and British heritages, and do either inspire you as a designer?" Enjoy this podcast with Dee Okleppo Hilfiger. I was, I have to say, inspired by it, but mostly I was inspired by her humility and her willingness and kindness to sit down with me and chat. And there's something that we can all glean from her responses.
You know, well, I went one time to Turkey, but then the next time that I would go back would be like when I was almost 20. So I was raised very American. My father never even spoke Turkish to me because he felt like, where am I going to ever use that language? And I think that as they became, you know, naturalized citizens, they were trying to be more American as well, I guess you'd say. So, yeah, I never felt that much. But now as I'm older, I look to it much more. I think growing up as a kid, I really didn't want to be different. I have my real name is very Turkish, which is Deniz, D-E-N-I-Z. Mm. And my maiden name was Erbug, E-R-B-U-G. So I had a crazy name growing up. I got teased a lot in school. Therefore, I've been D for a while, which is much more easy to pronounce in the spelling and I guess you'd say more American.
Yeah.
But it definitely, I'm fascinated with Turkey, and I go to England quite a lot. So I appreciate it and try to embrace it much more as an older person.
Yeah.
Than I did when I was younger.
I can imagine you probably didn't embrace it hardly at all growing up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just foreign. You know, when you're young, you just want to be like everybody else. And I think my parents were assimilating into, you know, American culture, so they didn't really go out of their way to bring that, other than, like I said, other than some good food.
Yeah. Do you have connection to your Turkish family in Turkey?
A little bit through Instagram and Ancestry.com. My dad, who is now 93, was the youngest of 8 kids, so all his brothers and sisters have passed. I know that I have a lot of cousins out there somewhere.
But
he was the only one that immigrated, so it's not like we grew up together with them, so I'm not that familiar with all my
family.
But they're out there.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
I can imagine. Yeah. Okay. So I heard in an interview that you did that your dad wouldn't allow you to go to a college in California. And with the wisdom that you have now, are you glad he didn't let you go out to California? Are you happy that you went to SMU? Because I remember telling my dad, "Oh yeah, I'm applying to the University of Miami," and he's like, "You're not going there."
You know, that's a really good question. I think I would have been fine had I gone out there, but we'll never know.
Yeah.
But what I will say, just on a general, broader sort of notation, is that looking back, I am very happy and appreciative that my dad was so strict. And I have this conversation with Tommy a lot. I think as a grown-up, I really appreciate and respect it because I know he cared. And I think sometimes, you know, we don't want to be too strict as a parent, but I think when you get older, you realize that that was coming from a place of love and protection. Mm. And so now I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And I went to SMU and I had a great time. And, you know, I didn't lack any experience, and California's still there, and I've gone there a lot since then, so
yeah.
I don't regret that.
How did you find your career after college? Did you know what you wanted to do in college? And if not, like, how did you find your career?
Yeah, I really did not know what I wanted to do in college. I studied advertising and communications. I knew that what I didn't want to do, which was, I didn't want to be a doctor like my dad, because I would literally walk into the hospital and like feel like I was going to faint from the smells. And, you know, I knew clearly what I did not want to do. But I wasn't exactly sure the path that I wanted to take. And I had started to be recruited to model when I was younger, before I went to college, and I was asked to go to New York, and my dad was, you know, adamant, again, once again, my strict dad, but he was like, you're not going to do that. You have to go to college. You have to go to college. You're not going to not go to college to model. So he was very strict on that. So when I went to Dallas, they had a small, like, secondary market. There was a lot of, like, Neiman Marcus and, you know, a small secondary market where I could still kind of dip my toe into it. So I was modeling while I was going to college. And when I did graduate, I thought, okay, I've got my degree, I've graduated. And what wound up happening is I then went to Paris. Hmm. And I went to Europe to model then, because I thought, you know, I've got a short window that I can actually do this. I've got my degree as my, you know, backup that I can always fall back on and go back to pursuing something in communications or advertising or wherever that may lead. But I really, really wanted to travel. Mm. And the only way that I really saw that I could do that was through, like, the modeling. That was one of the, you know, greatest things that kind of thing would afford me, to go to see different places. And that was, like, really important to me, because I, you know, my parents used to get National Geographic, and I used to go through it every month. And I was just so obsessed and fascinated by all these places. I'm like, I have to go and see these places.
Yeah.
So that the traveling thing, I was thinking I wanted to do like a traveling show or work for National Geographic, or I just was so entranced with that. Like, that was in the back of my head. But
yeah,
I think it's hard when you're that age and you're going to college and you have these dreams, and you have to try to figure out how to get there. And you don't always have the tools or the understanding to know all the job opportunities within that field.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of feeling like, wait, I don't want to just like go and work in an office and, you know, do like some 9-to-5 thing where I don't ever get to go anywhere. You know, I knew that I wouldn't be happy doing that. So
right.
I had to figure it out.
I think the US system puts a lot of pressure on high schoolers to know what you want to major in and to know what you want to do. And if you know you want to be a doctor or a lawyer, then you know you're going to go to law school, medical school, and do those jobs. But I think for the creatives, or even people in communications, like you don't know what you can do with those degrees. So I found that when I graduated college, I went to school in DC, so I did do a little bit of the DC thing and thinking I would work in the White House or Congress, that would be my path, but it wasn't my path. And I found that just going abroad kind of gave me some experiences, like that what I've done the last few years. I lived in the Middle East and Lebanon and in Dubai, and getting kind of a here and there understanding of the fashion industry, and then being able to cover Paris Fashion Week, and that being really exciting. And I found things to do along the way, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And I found that to be enriching, versus being 18 and what am I going to do with my history degree? And my dad kept
Exactly.
saying, "What? How are you gonna make money with that?" And I said, "I'm just gonna make history with my history degree." I got tired of him asking me, but yeah, it can be hard as an 18-year-old.
I know. I do think traveling is in itself like a whole nother degree
Yeah.
that everybody should have. It just broadens your mind, and it's something that you can't really, you have to experience it. You can't learn it in a classroom.
Right.
Experience that you get from traveling and meeting people from other cultures, and that it's I think my ultimate job would have been like being an Anthony Bourdain, kind of thing, where he goes and meets all those people and eats all the different foods, and like I loved watching traveling shows. So
Yeah.
I'm a big on promoting that if you're able to do it and figure out a way. And I think that's an incredible experience, and those experiences lead you to friendships or ideas in your mind that you might not have had, and lead the path. And you never know what will happen or become of those experiences.
That's
From those
true.
experiences, you meet people. It's really fascinating.
It is. When you look at the fashion industry now, if you were coming out of university now, would you have gone into modeling? I'm sure it has changed so much from when you were in the industry. And as a writer, it's very hard to make a life as a fashion journalist. It's almost near impossible because getting paid $100 here an article, $50 here, you can't sustain yourself. So I
Yeah.
don't know. I don't think I've had a lot of great experiences and being able to sit front row at Paris Fashion Week, that's really cool, but you can't make a life in
Gotta
the
pay your
fashion,
bills.
right, in the fashion industry. I think it's hard for models too.
I mean, I think the fashion industry is a tough industry all the way around. I think from when I was modeling, it's become a completely different thing. Like everybody is a model now. When I was modeling, we didn't have like influencers. We didn't have cell phones or Instagram. We didn't even have really digital. When I was modeling, we had, they would check the light with a Polaroid, and if you had to like fix something, it was like airbrushing. You couldn't really even, it was difficult to retouch a photo then if you had to. It was a whole different thing. I feel like now anybody can be a model. It means a whole different thing. I mean, you still will have like the Gigi's and the Kendall Jenners, and those girls are still there, but I just think those are one in a handful. I think it would be even more tough to break into now and make a living. I think it's very different, and I just think even as a designer, and I often say to Tommy, like, oh my God, how why would you like encourage me to be in this business? It's like walking into a casino when the house has the upper hand, the odds are against you. It's a tough grind, and sometimes I don't even understand like within the retailers, like the calendars, and I'd be questioning, well, why are we putting boots? Why are we delivering boots in August when it doesn't even get cold until February, and then we're putting them on sale? Like, there's so many things about the fashion industry
Don't make sense.
that doesn't make sense. And everything from fashion writers and magazines, and it's almost like it needs a whole reset, for everybody to, be able to make earn a living, and it's complicated. It's
Yeah,
complicated.
it is. I heard you say in an interview that you enjoyed being a stay-at-home mom with your first marriage, but you never wanted to be put in a place of not having your own independence. What advice do you have to women, I guess also to men, to not be put in a place that you don't have that independence?
I mean, I think I have stepdaughters. I don't have, I have sons, but I think particularly for women, when you give up your independence, you give up your power in the relationship. So I would not advise any woman to do that. I mean, I think today there are ways which, women could be very creative, and I'm not saying that you have to work full time, but at least have, and it's hard when the kids are young. I get that. I've been there. Like, you don't want to leave your baby in the care of somebody else. I understand that. So maybe it's temporarily you do that, but I think it's important for every woman to have their own thing, their own independence, their own careers, their own way of either supplementing income or just having their own income, to be independent, to be able to stand on their own two feet and not be totally reliant on another person.
Yeah, it's
It's
very
really, really
empowering.
important.
Yeah, just even probably for your own mind too.
Self-esteem,
Yeah, not
your
just
own
financially.
self-esteem.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, I'm in a situation where, my husband has plenty to go around, but I that means nothing to me because I need to have it for myself.
Yeah.
I need to, and also, to be honest, I love being a mom, but I find that I can juggle being a mom, and I mean, I do have help. I do have somebody that definitely helps me with my son, but I'm still the mom. I'm still overseeing all of that and spend a lot of time with him. He's at school most of the day, but you figure out how to do it.
Yeah. It's possible to have a little side business even if you're married and work from home. So it is important. Like my parents are separated, and because my mom has an education and a job, she was able to build her own house and create her own
There you
life.
go.
So
There
it's
you go.
important to have a fallback.
I also think women are really, really smart and really, really resourceful and very organized and very strong. So I think most women for sure have that in them. They're very capable of doing that, even if they might not think that they are. They are. So
Yeah,
why
even if
not?
they don't know it, they might be thrown into it, and they'll know how to swim if they're
They
thrown
will know
into it.
how to swim.
Yeah. Do you think you would have become a fashion designer if you wouldn't have married Tommy Hilfiger?
I don't think I would have. I don't think I would have, but I would have done definitely something, I think, creatively. I also really like real estate, so I keep my real estate license. When I was pregnant with Sebastian, I decided to get my real estate license in New York. And so I keep that. I have to do continuing education in order to keep the license. And I love, Tommy and I buy and sell a lot of real estate in that. So I love real estate. I love interior design. I think I might have done something in that arena, like with real estate, or maybe I would have been a a decorator or something like that.
Yeah. And why did you choose to focus on shoes and handbags? And I saw pajamas on your website, as opposed to a full fashion line.
Well, I started with bags, and then it kind of then I found a partner that wanted to develop shoes, and then I started doing shoes, and then we were selling less bags, and then I had the opportunity. I met a silk factory in Italy, and we decided, okay, let's do pajamas, because at that time, the pajamas were kind of like people were wearing them out in the evening too. So it's just sort of happened organically where I've gone, or I might meet a friend and say, hey, let's collab. And I'm talking to a friend that has a housewares, and I'm like, I love housewares, let's do a collab. So it kind of, if you're open to things, then I've found with myself, when I'm open to things, then things just happen. When if you're talking to somebody and, hey, you do this, it's all about connecting with other people, and that's how I've gone in from to different things. It's all about connections
The
and
power of
connecting.
collaborations, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had just started in the fashion industry and Karl Lagerfeld died, and there was a memorial service for him at the Grand Palais in Paris. And I had never been around fashion people before, and I was in my seat and I saw Mario Testino walk in and Anna Wintour, and I was like, oh my gosh, I was like, this is cool, because I had come from DC where seeing senators or the president, I had gotten used to it. But it was my first time seeing people in the fashion industry, and I saw your husband in a black and white checkered suit. And I went up and I said hello. I was a bit nervous, and he was so kind. And
I think I remember that. I was there.
were you? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I remember him. I was definitely there.
Okay.
It was incredible,
Yeah.
that memorial service.
Yeah.
But I was definitely around. There were so many people there.
Yeah, it was a lot of people. And I just remember him being the first big designer I talked to. And it was nice that he was kind, because it's hit or miss in fashion with people, I would say, and very gracious. So.
Well, that's the reason why I did marry my husband, is he is one of the kindest, nicest people that you will ever want to meet.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you launch in the Middle East? I know you were saying that that was, I heard in a podcast that that's something you're planning to do.
Well, we haven't opened the stores yet, but I'm currently working on opening stores in the Middle
Okay.
East.
That's great.
And I'm currently working on I've got a lot of things that I'm working on. I'm currently working on trying to find a space in the US, either in LA or either in Palm Beach, which would be great because I live here, so I could keep a close eye on it.
Yeah.
I'm currently in negotiations to do a show about women in business, like a reality show with women in business. And currently negotiating to do a home line with QVC. So I've got a lot of different balls in the air, so to
Right.
speak. And so hopefully some of those will come to fruition.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in Saudi Arabia at the moment, because I lived in Dubai, and Dubai is growing. They're building a lot still. I was there a few a month ago, but I spent 5 times in Saudi Arabia last year, and there's a lot happening in Riyadh, and the skyline is just full of cranes, and it's amazing to see how the Saudis are opening themselves up to the world, but just the growth and all of the 5-star luxury hotels that are being built.
No, I know. I find that like super exciting, and I just really hope that we can resolve, all the issues that are going on in the Middle East so that we can all live in peace and we will all prosper from that. Like, I think It's and the women over there love fashion. I mean, I
Yeah.
know with like Judith Lieber, we have a huge Middle Eastern. We've just signed a deal with Judith Lieber in the Middle East. We have a Middle Eastern partner. We're going to be opening up freestanding stores there.
That's
And I
great.
know that those women are really loving fashion. They love fashion.
Yeah.
And so I'd love that whole area to open up.
Yeah.
I just think, I think we are getting there, and I think there's a lot of Americans that would like to travel there and that, but I just feel like, politically what's going on in the Middle East, it's just too bad. We
Yeah.
it hinders that progress that we all want to get there,
Yeah.
but
That's true. It takes
we're
time.
fighting.
Yeah. And what's a typical day like for you as a designer?
That's a great question. I don't have a typical day. I'm a lot on Zooms, that's for sure, but I do a lot of traveling. Yesterday, I got up at 5:30, flew up to Pennsylvania for the day, came back. Tomorrow, I'm going to New York for the day. I do a lot of day flights,
Yeah.
and a lot of Zooms. And there really isn't, like, every day is different, which I love. I
Yeah.
think that's amazing.
Yeah.
So
You're never
every
bored.
day, but never bored. I've got photo shoots lined up for my spring campaign. Definitely on the computer a lot. A lot of meetings that I do over the computer, which is great because it's just much more efficient. Even when I was living in New York and could be at the meetings in person, the time that it takes me to go from uptown to downtown to this meeting to that meeting, I can just, pop on a Zoom and I can get probably twice as much done
Yeah.
as far as meetings. So thank God for that.
Yeah.
That's one great thing that happened from COVID is that we learned how to Zoom.
Yeah.
And technology and digital makes everything a lot more efficient and run quicker and easier. So, and then we're getting prepared to come up to New York also for Fashion Week. Tommy's got a show on the 9th. I've got meetings. And so I'm just like, go, go, go. I
Yeah.
try to see as how much I can get done in one day. And then
Right.
I hit that bed and it's lights out. I'm gone.
Well, I'm sure it keeps you just young and it keeps you learning a lot
Engaged.
and
Yeah. I
yeah.
love to be productive and I love to be busy. So
That's great. Well, thank you so much for your time, Dee. I
thank you,
appreciate
Al.
it. Yeah.
It
So
was so nice to see you and meet you, and good luck with everything.
thank you. I hope that you enjoyed this podcast episode and that you have found a soulful connection to the conversation. God bless you, and until the next episode, go bless somebody else.